My dearly beloved in Christ, today's gospel brings before us the very different economic situation back in that time of our Lord as compared to today. We notice that these laborers go into the vineyard to work, and that at the end of the day, each one receives a denarius. And so it seems that in those days, workers were paid every single day, that at the end of the day, they would collect their wages for that day. And again, we find this very strange. Today, a worker might receive a paycheck every couple weeks, maybe even monthly. And why the difference? Well, because in those days, people didn't have refrigeration and freezers. They would go out every single day to purchase their food from the market, so it would be fresh. And it was considered a great sin to deprive a laborer of his just wage, not to pay the laborer promptly. In fact, you may remember having heard that there are four sins that cry to heaven for vengeance. In other words, four sins that are particularly detestable to Almighty God. And one of them is to deprive a laborer of his just wages. In this regard, the very different economic situation we have today, people can, with banking and check writing, etc., people are able to buy things on credit and to pay later, so there's not that need to receive this wage every single day. Another topic that comes up in this gospel, besides the very different economic circumstances, is the importance of the virtue of justice. Notice that when the owner of the vineyard goes into the marketplace and finds laborers standing around after a while, he says to them, "Go into my vineyard and I will give you what is just." Well, he actually gives them even more than what is just. And at the end of the day, when those who worked the entire day complain, even though they received what they had agreed to work for, they thought they would receive more because those who did not work the full day received a full day's wage. And when they complained, the owner of the vineyard said, "Friend," or one of them complained, he said, "Friend, I do you no injustice." So our Lord here is bringing before us the importance of that virtue of justice. And what is justice? Justice is to give to everyone what is his due, including giving to God what is due to God, and giving to our neighbor what is due to our neighbor. And it is very important that we keep in mind this virtue, because nothing can take its place. In other words, someone could not be unjust to an individual to whom he owed a debt, and then turn around and say, "Well, I will make up for that sin. I will be charitable towards someone else. I will give to someone else in charity." Charity does not make up or cover over injustice. So we must be very careful to observe the laws of justice. Now, at the same time, this word justice is nowadays used very often to accomplish an unworthy goal. We hear so much nowadays of social justice. And social justice would mean an economic situation that would allow a fair distribution of material goods so that everyone can live decently. And especially going back to the 1960s and 1970s after Vatican II, a brand of theology was preached, particularly in Latin America, called liberation theology. And that was based on supposed social justice, but actually it was based upon Marxist teaching. And it's still prevalent today. And the idea of that is, well, there are some people who are wealthy, and we should take away from them to give to the poor, because the poor need to be taken care of. So instead of having laws and an economic arrangement such that those who work can obtain what they need, there's this idea of taking away from others. And what is particularly wrong with that is it violates a God-given right, and that is the right of private property, to own private property and to acquire private property through hard work or maybe a gift or inheritance. But the ownership of private property is a God-given right. And we must be very wary of any philosophy, any teaching that would violate that God-given right. We sometimes are inclined to think that we have the best economic situation in this country, capitalism. But Father Dennis Fahey, a famous Irish priest who wrote a number of books on economics and social order and the mystical body of Christ and the reign of Christ the King in society, talks about what he refers to as laissez-faire capitalism. And he says that's like the opposite of Marxism, but it's not the ideal. We might think it's the ideal. One of the problems you have in capitalism is that the focus can always be on the bottom line, just simply making money. And then when that happens, the workers are dispensable. They're not important. They're not individuals who have a family to support because the owner of this company just wants to make money. So a real proper economic situation would be one which recognizes the individuals and provides for a fair distribution of the goods of this world, but also accepts, recognizes the right of private property and does not violate that principle. Now we know in the early church, we read that in the Acts of the Apostles that the Christians had all things in common, that early Christians voluntarily, were not taken from them, that they voluntarily gave up material things to provide for those who were less privileged, less advantaged, disadvantaged. And so there's the ideal of charity, almsgiving, voluntarily helping those in need, something we all should do, should be very aware of. So this gospel brings up these different topics of a proper economic situation, which the ideal would be that any one individual who's willing to work hard enough can earn a living to provide for a family. Whereas nowadays, the situation is such that sometimes both parents need to work, that it's not possible for just the father to provide for his family. And the ideal would be for the mother to be in the home. Now, years ago, this practice of women in the workforce is really very modern, very new. And go back 100 years, it was almost unheard of, except for a few particular types of employment, like nurses or teachers. But other than that, you didn't have women in the workforce. They were home taking care of the children, raising the children, keeping the house. Another aspect of labor that we keep in mind is what St. Paul says in his epistle to the Thessalonians. I think it's the second epistle to Thessalonians. He says, if any man will not work, neither let him eat. Meaning that in the early church, where there was this situation where people would give their goods to the community. There were some who took advantage of that, thought, well, now I don't need to work because it will be provided me. So a reminder, and that's part of justice as well. Sometimes there will be a situation in this country, I've heard of this, people will say, like say somebody gets laid off, and so he's collecting unemployment, and then the person has an opportunity to get a job, but he thinks, well, why should I get a job? I have so many more weeks of unemployment. I'll just collect unemployment and then I'll get a job. And that's an injustice because that's robbing the community. That's robbing everyone else who has need by taking advantage of a program that is there for those who are without labor, where this person could get a job, but out of laziness doesn't do so. So there's injustice. So there's a lot of injustice in the world today. We should be very conscientious, to be always just, to remember our obligations. And then here we see in the gospel this owner who's not only perfectly just and fair, but on top of that, he's also generous. And notice the jealousy, the envy on the part of those who worked the whole day. Because they said, well, why is this person or that person receiving the same wage we're receiving? They didn't work the whole day. So they were envious. And we have to be very careful of that capital sin of envy, looking at others, being jealous of what others have, or envious of how God has blessed them. Rather, we should focus on what God has given to us and give gratitude to God for all the blessings we have. This gospel has many different applications, but one of them is gaining the kingdom of heaven. That you might say this denarius, this day's wage, in this application, would be applied to, if we can use this terminology, earning our ticket to heaven. So there are those who live their Catholic faith their whole life. They observe the commandments, they pray, they fast and abstain on the days appointed, they do everything they're supposed to do for their whole life. They're like those workers who are hired at the beginning of the day. And then there are those who go through a conversion later in life. Perhaps they live for many years outside the church, either as not members of the church, not having been converted or received into the church, or maybe living a complacent, lax life. And they go through a conversion and then begin to serve God. And they are like those who are hired at the third or the sixth or the ninth hour. And then there are even those like deathbed conversions, or those who go through, receive the grace of God and repent and are converted very late in life, like those who are hired at the 11th hour. But they all receive the day's wage. So they all are receiving, applying it here, the kingdom of heaven, entrance into heaven. And this is where we see God's generosity. Notice the reply of the owner to those who are grumbling. Is your eye envious because I am good? Are you angry? Just because I'm good, I have done you no injustice. And here we admire and praise the goodness of God, the mercy of God, how he distributes his blessings. We pray for the conversion of sinners. And we rejoice when someone is converted, maybe even later in life, who lived a life far from God. That is a topic, that is a cause to rejoice rather than to be envious. So that is just one of many applications that can be made of this gospel. Let us be weary of envy. And let us also be generous. Let us be just in all of our business dealings, all of our obligations. And let us also be generous. Imitate the owner of this vineyard, who's such an example of both justice and generosity. And always give thanks to God for all the blessings he has given to us, because certainly we do not deserve them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.